Hi, I'm Dr. Howard Rankin, and welcome to The Miracle Within You, the show at the intersection of psychology, medicine, and spirituality that considers how the mind and body interact with each other to influence health and healing. With years of experience as a practicing psychologist in the health and wellness fields, and as a writer covering amazing stories of healing, I will explore with my guests how numerous factors influence our lives and our health. Thank you for listening. Welcome back to The Miracle Within You. Today I'm delighted to be speaking with Dr. Margaret Rutherford about how we can be trained, unconsciously or otherwise, to suppress our feelings in a dangerous way, to the point where we never address them. They sit there and affect us because we feel it's a shameful thing to do. And there's nothing worse than shame, of course, to interrupt health, particularly psychological health. So I'm sure you have taken, you know, varying amounts of time depending on the client you're working with to get them to accept, first of all, the idea that, hey, you got to deal with this, not hide it. And that's only creating more problems. And then helping them through the processing of emotions.
Right. You know, I want to make sure your audience understands that even though the two examples I've given have been women, I think this is a problem for both women and men. And I've had lots of male clients come in too. And so what begins to happen, I think it's a process of, I know it's a process of self-compassion, of looking at the rules you've been following and how rigid are they? When they were put in place, what was the risk that, you know, or what was the, that's not the right word. What did your family, your culture, a lot of minority folks have told me, you know, I had to be perfect or better than perfect because I wouldn't have gotten the chance. And my whole family was counting, my whole church was counting on me to get the job or to get into that college or to make my mark in the military or whatever it was. And so, you know, the pressure those rules put on you, some of those rules might still be good. And ones that you want to follow and adaptive, but which are not. So part of it is an analytical thing or a mental thing, but so much of the work is about self-compassion and recognizing the things that happen to you no matter how young or old, and then the connections between those things and allowing yourself to feel. But then, you know, I don't know about you, but I have a little saying that insight is incredibly important, but where you get hope is from behavior change.
Oh, absolutely.
And so, you know, like the woman I was telling you who had all the adoptions or the miscarriages, I remember the session she came in and said, I decided it was to be, I was going to let my husband know I was angry with him. I've shown my anger, but I've never said this really makes me angry. And she was kind of cry laughing, you know, and she said, I just thought the world would come to an end if we actually talked about it. And then he told me what he was angry about and we actually could talk and we felt so incredibly close to one another. And she just said, you know, I couldn't believe that was even possible.
Right.
So when you do the emotional work and then you risk, it's going to feel like a risk to change your behavior, to change the way you feel, the way you act, what you say, what you do.
And the other thing about that, hiding it and covering it up, comes with it an unreal sense of responsibility. And this is particularly true, isn't it? People who have been sexually abused, women been sexually abused, they think it's their fault. you know, even though they were 7 years old at the time, you know, or whatever. And that's, I think that's also part of this, is it's my fault. I'm responsible.
And that's the shame.
There's the shame.
Shame that keeps it silent.
Just shut up about it and never go near it, you know.
You know, there's another trait that's a little trickier, and it may depend on what country you're living in, how much of this is present in your culture.
Mm-hmm.
But I know in the United States, there's a lot of what's called toxic positivity.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
And that you count your blessings, you're grateful, you have a gratitude journal, and that's supposed to be that. But as I've said many times, you know, you wanted a big family and you have four children, that's wonderful. That's four lunches to fix. That's four scout things. That's four, I don't know, it's four of four colleges or whatever. And so I believe everything is an and. This is a blessing, and I have feelings about it that sometimes I'm tired of it, or I have a more recent patient who said, I feel guilty for saying I get tired as a mom, you know, and I just looked at her and I said, I think that's by the definition of mom. It's like, you're tired.
Right. Yeah, really.
But she felt like she was copping out on, she'd had her children when she was older, and I can't say that. That
right,
means I'm not really grateful.
I know, absolutely, yeah. And I don't, yeah. I think the concept of positive psychology, even though I understand where it came from, the danger is, you know, just smile and get on with it, you know. And I think much better phrase is adaptive.
Yeah.
Adaptive psychology. Life is about adaptation.
Mm-hmm.
It's about adaptation. It's about
dealing
with
capacity,
the circumstances.
Building skills.
Yeah, building the ability to deal with things.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't do that if you ignore the most important things in your life, you know, and can't do that. And when you are able to do this around, say, a traumatic event, then you are actually learning to do it in any circumstance.
Right.
So it's a life skill.
It generalizes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think it's, you know, part of an essential life skill, because,
well, the term emotional intelligence is out there.
Right.
And so that's, I think, people's attempt at trying to understand the role of emotions and how they can be, a very teachable moment when you realize I have a feeling about this. Where does that feeling come from? What do I want to do with that feeling? What is that feeling suggesting to me
mm-hmm.
about what's going on? Just like I told my story about Natalie, my feeling was I felt something in my gut and I listened to that feeling. So, you know, I feel, how many people do you say, well, how do you feel about that? Well, I think that that's your thinking. That's
right.
Not your feeling.
Yeah, yeah,
so,
exactly.
But, you know, it depends on the culture you're reared in, how comfortable you are in that whole realm.
Yep. And cultural differences, you're absolutely right, make a huge difference.
Mm-hmm.
You know, macro culture and micro culture, the culture you're growing up with externally and the culture within your family exerts a massive influence on that.
Of course.
But you know, courage isn't avoiding the tough issues. It's mm-hmm. being vulnerable enough to deal with them.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't deal with them, they are going to manifest in all sorts of ways in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
You know, I actually, in the last year or so, I have used the word vulnerability often. Here in the South, the southern part of the United States, that word holds a lot. A lot of people think you're inferior. You lack something if you are vulnerable. You've lost your protection of yourself, which is true. you're giving it up yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I have, and I've used this word a couple of times here. I have switched around and played with the word transparency.
Mm.
Because I think that maybe that has a little less of a hint of weakness, or I'm taking a weaker stand and I must protect myself. It's just I'm choosing to be transparent. And it, especially with men, again, I live in this southern part of the United States, but it's I think it's a little easier for them to wrap around the term transparency.
Yes, that's a very good point. Yeah. But the whole point is the ability to deal with those challenges, which typically are the most difficult challenges you have in life. And that's, it's hard. We're all going to have to face something like that all the time. Well, no, not all the time, but at one point in our lives.
Well, tragically, and it's much more tragic for the family, but I mean, I have had one patient walked out of my office and we had a suicide plan back when I believed in those. And, she was literally dead 20 minutes later.
Oh my gosh.
And so, she wasn't about to follow the plan. And I'd had her for a long time. And my feelings were, I mean, they were intense.
Oh, I can imagine.
And so, I remember going to the funeral thinking, well, the family's going to tell me to get the hell out. And they didn't. But in fact, they were quite lovely. But it, she tried to kill herself before, and just this time she had a more lethal means. And, I found myself, I went to this fellow therapist and I was just sobbing. And she looked at me and she said, "Wow, you're really feeling this." And I thought, what? And so I dried my tears as quickly as I could and I thanked her, but I never sent anybody else to her because
Right. No,
I
of
never referred
course.
anyone else to
Yeah,
her because I just thought if she can't understand why this is just wrecking my soul, then she doesn't get it.
No, very good point. Yeah. Outstanding. Yeah. Excellent. Excellent. Yeah, I could imagine, in the course of my practice, two or three people have committed suicide, and it's always painful.
It's horrible.
Even though really there's not a lot you could do about it. So I understand that. And again, I value your, what's the word I'm looking for? Well, yeah, no, your bravery and your courage in continuing to work with people who do present probably more of this type of risk than an average client in a
Well,
psychology practice.
I have a 2023 TEDx that's done, I mean, has almost 2 million views. It's really
Wow.
incredible. But I got the opportunity because back in 2020, I got a message over LinkedIn from someone I did not realize at the time was a co-organizer of a TEDx in Florida. She just introduced herself as Cindy. And she said that one of her friends had killed herself on Valentine's Day. And her husband came up to Cindy at the funeral and said, "What is this?" It was on my wife's bedside table and it was my book.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
So she said, "What is this perfectly hidden depression?" And then a year later, she invited me to interview or audition for the TEDx. And I didn't get it the first year, but I got it the second year. And so, but you should read the comments on TEDx. It's called How to Recognize Perfectly Hidden Depression. And the comments are people saying, yeah, no one knows that this is me. And I'm going to keep it that way. And, people respond to them, please don't. And kind of thing. But it's the pain in the comments is incredible.
So let's talk about that. You have your book, right? And it's still available, I presume. I'm
Oh, yeah.
in different
It's been
platforms.
translated into, I think, 15 or 16 other
Wow.
languages.
Outstanding. Great job. And you have a podcast too,
I
right?
do. I've been doing it. Well, actually, the podcast started when I was approaching some publishing houses who were major publishing houses, and they said, "Well, we love this book idea, but we're not going to publish it because, one, nobody knows who you are, and two, why would someone who was trying to look perfect buy a book on depression?" So I could do something about the first one. And I was comfortable in front of a microphone because of my jail experience. So I literally I listened to a couple of podcasts and probably somewhat pridefully said, I think I could do this. And 9 years later, I'm still doing
That's
it.
great. Yeah.
It's called the Self Work Podcast,
Okay.
SELFWORK.
And available on all sorts of different
Available on
platforms, I'm sure.
Spotify, Apple, wherever you
Right.
listen to podcasts.
Right. And if people want to find out more about you, your work, and how to reach out to you,
Sure.
where do they go?
I have the incredibly original website of drmargaretrutherford.com. So, and I welcome that. I welcome my email, of course, is on there, and I welcome comments and questions and everything else. In fact, there's an app on my website that if you can call me and leave me a voicemail, and I can air it on the podcast and then answer your question on the podcast, which I love to do.
Now that's a great idea. I love it. Excellent. Well, thank you so much for being a guest, but most importantly, thank you for all the work you're doing
Thank you.
for people who need it a lot, big time, to
Yeah.
transform their lives. I know it transforms lives
Well,
when that.
you do very similar work, so.
Yes, which is why I can appreciate what you do, is it transforms their lives from being behind this curtain of shame to being free. It's remarkable. So thank you very
Of
much.
course, of course. It is, I'm 70 years old, and I had no idea that the decade of my 60s was going to be quite so full of meaning and purpose and new adventures and new challenges. And it's been actually it's helped me age a little
Yeah.
more, hopefully successfully than some people, or at least joyfully.
Yes. And I have to tell the listeners that you've got to check Margaret out because she doesn't look anything like 70 years old.
Well, it's
Oh,
called hair dye.
okay. All right. Yeah. And when's your songbook coming out about this
Workbook. Yeah. The
topic?
workbook is going to come out in the spring, and it
Okay.
will literally be called The Perfectly Hidden Depression Workbook, and it has some
Okay.
subtitle that I can't remember.
Okay, and then you'll write some songs about it and sing.
I don't know. That's an idea. That's an idea. I haven't
Yeah.
recorded anything in a long time.
Well, thank you again. This was
Of
great.
course.
I'm sure it's helped people. I encourage the listeners to check it out. This is important, very important. It's life-saving. Take care.
Thank you, Howard.
The station that makes you feel good.
Optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list, then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one super supplement brand, help you achieve that in the most convenient and comprehensive way possible. Clean, premium ingredients scientifically formulated to work in synergy to support immunity, energy, joints, heart health, sleep, emotional balance, and more. Benefit from the power, purity, and positivity of our award-winning powder sachets or our therapeutic capsule range. Use code RADIO15 at reviveactive.com and save 15% off today. Super supplements for a super you.
Cappuccino, latte, Americano, flat white, macchiato.
Just imagine, for less than the price of a single cup of coffee out on the high street, you could enjoy an award-winning online magazine every month with up-to-the-minute information on health and healthy lifestyle. Sounds like a good trade-off? Check out Health Triangle magazine on the UKHealthRadio.com website. Just sacrifice a single cup of coffee every month.
Let's all put health first.
The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to The Miracle Within You. Today I'm with Dr. Margaret Rutherford. We're talking about the concept of hidden depression and how that can manifest in many ways, very often sadly, in suicide. So, Margaret, we were talking about the sort of syndrome, if you will.
It is a syndrome. That's exactly how I think of it.
Yeah. And of course, you mentioned how that begins in the early years of being treated as if, you know, you have to do this. You have to hide. You ignore the pain. Just got to be strong and move on.
You know, it's interesting, Howard, because when I first began to write about this, because I really didn't know what it was. I was trying to figure out, what is this? What is perfectly hidden depression? And I put together these blog posts, and then I would ask people if they identified with it to get in touch with me. And I did over 60 interviews for the book from people from all over the world, talked with them for an hour, half or 2 hours, and tried to learn from them how this had happened to them and how they had suffered from it. And you're right to call it a syndrome, because a syndrome is a group of beliefs and behaviors that are found together, kind of like codependence is probably, you know this well, is the most well-known syndrome. But what I was shocked by in many ways, I would ask these people, why in the world would you read a blog post, contact a therapist in Fayetteville, Arkansas, you've never met, you have no idea if you can trust, tell your story? And most of them let me know who they were. Mm-hmm. I mean, they, you know, and I said, I don't get it. Here you've been hiding all these years. And they would say things like, it's the term perfectly hidden depression. I knew you had figured something out. I knew you were talking to me. But I said, but why? And they said, literally, I do not want anyone else to live the life I have lived because I am so lonely. There's not one person in this world that knows me, really knows me, and can connect with me, and I can connect with them. It was so poignant. I was getting these responses, and I just knew I had to write this book. I, like I said at the beginning of the interview, I had absolutely no plans to do that. I was just fine in my little corner of the world.
No, well, kudos again for you for taking that, because clearly you hit a nerve there, and you're onto something very important, very important. And so the process is that at a young age, as kids are developing their identity and their thinking and all of that, they get exposed to an environment which does what? Prevents them from talking about negative things, or?
Yes, doesn't allow it. They're either chastised for it, punished for it, ignored. You know, I grew up in a family where you weren't allowed to be angry. And if you got angry, you were told to go to your room and come back when you could be nice. So, you know, the different stories that have come my way are everything from horrific abuse, which of course couldn't be talked about, alcoholism or drug abuse that couldn't be talked about, and you taking a pseudo adult role in your family, doing everything from, you know, you were told you are going to come into your father's business and that is going to be your life, and you had to walk that path. You could be very enmeshed with a parent, meaning that parent could sort of cleave on to you so that you meet their emotional needs, and therefore you're not allowed to leave the family. So in some ways you try to be successful away. And I don't know, as we say in Arkansas, there are many ways around the barn. Mm-hmm. So there are lots of ways to get there, but the major process is that you don't know how to express painful emotions, the miracle within you. Those emotions, those things that you sense are there, but you're not really, you don't know how to feel them or how to, you can say, that really made me sad. Mm-hmm. If I say, well, I've never seen you look sad about it. Oh, you know, I'm just not a crier. Or if I started crying, I'd never stop.
Oh, yep.
So there's lots of justification for being that way. I'm writing a workbook that will be out in the spring. And one of the metaphors I used for it, which I personally like, is that it becomes its own prison. Meaning, you're actually guarding the feelings. You're doing what you have to do to keep them at bay. Mm-hmm. So you're inside the prison doing that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're also guarding the outside of the prison. So no one sees your vulnerability.
Right.
No one guesses it. No one could ever imagine that you had a care in the world.
Right. You're in a cage.
You're in a cage. Great.
You know, you're in a cage. And, you know, sometimes that door is open, but even if it's open, you don't know how to get out of it.
Exactly.
Because that's the other thing, is you've got to learn, you have to be shown not only that it's possible, but how do you process these things? How do you deal with stresses and traumas and challenges? And if you don't know how to do that, of course, you just bury it. This is not an uncommon story for anyone who's been through early traumatic experiences. They just don't know how to deal with it and just bury it, which is the worst thing you can do, of course.
Right. So anyway, I got criticized for pathologizing courage and resilience and bravery. And I said, no. That is all very apt and important. And it's an ego skill to be resilient and to feel as if, you know, you can, they come and you keep on going. But at the same time, when that is your only option, when I can never connect with what this felt like or feels like now, and I don't know how to express it, that is where the problem is. It's your solo option.
Yes, that's right. There's no other option. So that's what you, that's all you know. That's right.
Right.
And I think that's really a very important point, is that, you know, you talked about Brené Brown, vulnerability is courage. You've got to be vulnerable. If you're really going to be resilient, yes, you deal with the situation, but resilience is not ignoring or pretending it didn't happen and not addressing it. That's not resilience.
Exactly. Okay?
Resilience is addressing it.
The 10 traits I came up with were actually, when you take the trait that's itself, like maybe taking on lots of responsibility, being the responsible one in the room, okay? That's not a bad thing. That's an admirable thing in many ways. It is, again, that sense of, I don't know how to be anything other than this.
Right.
You know, I tell the story of Laura when I'm training clinicians, and Laura was a patient of mine, and she came in because of the book. And I always have them look at the 10 traits and say, which trait do you think it would be the easiest for you to begin to challenge? And she picked that one about the responsibility. And she went to a committee meeting, and Howard, she came in and she showed me, she said, I literally sat on my hands before they'd be calling out some new task that needed to get done immediately. And I was sitting on my hands. And I said, I'm not going to volunteer for anything this meeting. And she said, I left the committee meeting and I went to my car, and my guilt started shaming me for, everybody else in that room is just as busy as you are. Why did you not take any more responsibility? And she said, I had to stop myself. I thought, I've got to go talk to Margaret about this. Anyway, we looked more into Laura's story. Laura had been adopted. And sadly, her adopted parents gave her the strong message, you really wouldn't be anyone or anywhere without us. So Laura was proving to herself and to the world that she was valuable. And, you know, you and I were talking before this, we started recording, about those moments where all of a sudden you see things, you feel emotions. Her eyes filled with tears, and she said, and it was so, because we worked on having compassion for that little girl that was all that. And she realized why it was so significant and important for her to do this. And it was a breakthrough for her, breakthrough.
Yeah. And I compare this, if you wanted to compare it to some other psychology concept, to learned helplessness.
Yes.
You know, in learned helplessness, the experiment, if you don't show an animal how it can escape It doesn't know how to do that, even though it's easy, and it just stays in the cage.
Or it's known how before.
Yes, right.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
so and so that you've got to show people that they can do this.
It's one of the honors of being a therapist, I think, is helping people identify and very gently connect with something they've never connected with before. And it, you know, you use the word processing, which I wrote down here when you were introducing me and or introducing the show. You know, processing emotions almost makes it sound, you know, like it's an analytical kind of thing, and it's not. It is it's messy, and it's uncomfortable. Whether you struggle feeling anger, you struggle feeling fear, you struggle feeling sadness, whatever it is, disgust or whatever it is. And so it is literally trying to, almost like you teach a child, well, you look sad. You know, it's like you're helping them identify what's inside.
Absolutely. And acknowledging it, and that's okay. And not only is it okay, it's important. It reminds me, one of my more challenging clients had severe trauma issues. And, you know, she would talk about them and as if they were nothing.
Right.
And one day I picked up the tissue box and threw it against the wall and said, "You never get angry. Why aren't you angry at these people?" And she said, "Oh," I said, "look, I want you to take this cushion and hit the chair there." She said, "I'll never stop. If I do that, I'll never stop." I said, "Well, let's try it." So 7 minutes is a long time to be hitting a chair.
Yeah, it sure is.
But it's not eternity. Right? You've got to show people. You've just got to facilitate that. The magic, there's a miracle there.
And I think you have to respect that it really does yield a lot of fear for them. Fear of being that transparent. Fear of what'll happen after I feel this. I've got to go back to my life, you know, and I've got to zip up. And go back to my life, and I'm afraid I won't be able to. And so it's with care that you do that kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, and I should say this was a very long term client that I've been working with for many years.
You don't throw Kleenex boxes at everybody.
Yeah, they're too expensive for one thing. But yeah, this was the most dramatic, you know, case I had, actually. Yes, so, but what's amazing is, so people listening might think, well, you know, just kind of trying to hide all the terrible things that happened to you and just try and ignore them and forget them, you know, that's the best thing to do. The miracle is, in a way, and what is miraculous is when people are able to do that.
Right.
And do that effectively. Oh my goodness. What a change.
Oh, it's incredible. I was seeing someone while I was writing the book that had come in to see me because she had read some of my blog posts and things. And in fact, she, I sometimes would ask her, "Can I use that phrase?" Because she was very eloquent, very eloquent. And she said, "It's like I'm finally breaking a silence that I've carried around believing it was up to me to keep silent." And that was the name of my last chapter of the book, Breaking the Silence. So,
excellent.
You know, her particular case was that not only did she grow up in a family where it was a very pleasant family, but you weren't allowed to talk about anything unpleasant or that might, you know, not look like it belonged. And she'd also been sexually abused by a boyfriend in college pretty badly. And so not that any of it is, you know, not bad, but over a 2 or 3 year period of time. And she had decided she was going to stay in control all the rest of her life. And that's a huge trait of this, is staying, you know, a rigid sense of control and a shameful voice criticizing you, editorializing in your head all the time. And I remember working with her, and sure enough, she had a successful marriage. She'd had multiple miscarriages and two adoptions that had fallen through. And she never cried. Her husband was a wreck. And she said, you know, I just kept going same thing to same thing. Well, finally, they didn't have a child. They had an adopted child. And all of these feelings, Howard, came roaring to the surface. And she just felt like, what is happening to me? And I thought, because finally that door has popped open that you had tightly locked.
Yep.
How difficult all these years of trying to become pregnant, as well as the sexual abuse, as well as your family experience. And so she was a remarkable client, and she did some really great work.
Yeah, that's awesome. Really amazing. Okay, let's take another quick break from message from our sponsors, and then we'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, ant and deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries
and cream. A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to The Miracle Within You. Today, I'm delighted to be speaking with Dr. Margaret Rutherford about how we can be trained, unconsciously or otherwise, to suppress our feelings in a dangerous way, to the point where we never address them. They sit there and affect us because we feel it's a shameful thing to do. And there's nothing worse than shame, of course, to interrupt health, particularly psychological health. So I'm sure you have taken, you know, varying amounts of time depending on the client you're working with to get them to accept, first of all, the idea that, hey, you got to deal with this, not hide it. And that's only creating more problems. And then helping them through the processing of emotions.
Right. You know, I want to make sure your audience understands that even though the two examples I've given have been women, I think this is a problem for both women and men. And I've had lots of male clients come in too. And so what begins to happen, I think it's a process of, I know it's a process of self-compassion, of looking at the rules you've been following and how rigid are they? When they were put in place, what was the risk that, you know, or what was the, that's not the right word, what did your family, your culture, a lot of minority folks have told me, you know, I had to be perfect or better than perfect because I wouldn't have gotten the chance. And my whole family was counting, my whole church was counting on me to get the job or to get into that college or to make my mark in the military or whatever it was. And so, you know, the pressure those rules put on you, some of those rules might still be good. Mm-hmm. And ones that you want to follow and adaptive, but which are not. So part of it is a analytical thing or a mental thing, but so much of the work is about self-compassion and recognizing the things that happen to you no matter how young or old, and then the connections between those things and allowing mm-hmm. yourself to feel. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, I don't know about you, but I have a little saying that insight is incredibly important, but where you get hope is from behavior change.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
And so, you know, like the woman I was telling you who had all the adoptions or the miscarriages, mm-hmm. I remember the session she came in and said, I decided it was to be, I was going to let my husband know I was angry with him. I've shown my anger, but I've never said this really makes me angry. And she was kind of cry laughing, you know, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. she said, I just thought the world would come to an end mm-hmm. if we actually talked about it. And then he told me what he was angry about and we actually could talk and we felt so incredibly close to one another. And she just said, you know, I couldn't believe that was even possible.
Right.
So when you do the emotional work and then you risk, it's going to feel like a risk
yep.
to behave, to change your behavior, to change the mm-hmm. way you feel, the way you act, what you say, what you do. Mm-hmm.
And the other thing about that, hiding it and covering it up, comes with it an unreal sense of responsibility. And yeah. this is particularly true, isn't it? People who have been sexually abused, women been sexually abused, they think it's their fault. You
yes.
know, even though they were 7 years old at the time, you know,
yes.
or whatever. Yeah. And that's, I think that's also part of this, is it's my fault. I'm
and
responsible.
That's the shame.
There's the shame.
Shame that keeps
so
it silent.
Just shut up about it and never go near it, you know.
You know, there's another trait that's a little trickier, and it may depend on what country you're living in, how much of this is present in your culture. Mm-hmm. But I know in the United States, there's a lot of what's called toxic positivity.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
And that you count your blessings, you're grateful, you have a gratitude journal, and that's supposed to be that. But as I've said many times, you know, you wanted a big family and you have four children, that's wonderful. That's four lunches to fix. That's
yeah.
four scout things. That's four, I don't know, it's four colleges or whatever. And so I believe everything is an and. This is a blessing, and I have feelings about it that sometimes I'm tired of it, or I have a more recent patient who said, I feel guilty for saying I get tired as a mom, you know, and I just looked at her and I said, I think that's by the definition of mom. It's like, you're tired.
Right. Yeah, really.
But she felt like she was copping out on
yep. Yep.
She'd had her children when she was older, and I can't say that
right,
means
yeah.
not really grateful.
I know, absolutely, yeah. And I don't, yeah, I think the concept of positive psychology, even though I understand where it came from, the danger is, you know, just smile and get on with it, you know. And I think much better phrase is adaptive.
Yeah.
Adaptive psychology. Life yeah. is about adaptation.
Mm-hmm.
It's about adaptation. It's about
yeah,
dealing with
capacity,
the circumstances.
Building skills.
Yeah, mm-hmm. building the ability to deal with things. Mm-hmm. And you can't do that if you ignore the most important things in your life, you know,
yeah.
and can't do that. And when you are able to do this around, say, a traumatic event, then you are actually learning to do it in any circumstance.
Right.
So it's a life skill.
It generalizes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think it's, you know, part of an essential life skill because.
Well, the term emotional intelligence is out there.
Right.
And so that's, I think, people's attempt at trying to understand the role of emotions and how they can be. It can be a very teachable moment when you realize I have a feeling about this. Where does that feeling come from? What do I want to do with that feeling? What is that feeling suggesting to me mm-hmm. about what's going on? Just mm-hmm. like I told my story about Natalie, my feeling mm-hmm. was I felt something in my gut And I listen to that feeling. So, I feel, how many people do you say, well, how do you feel about that? Well, I think that and I said, no, that's your thinking. That's not
Right.
your feeling.
Yeah,
So,
exactly.
it depends on the culture you're reared in, how comfortable you
Yes.
are
Yes.
in that whole realm.
Yep. And cultural differences, you're absolutely right, make a huge difference. Macro culture and micro culture, the culture you're growing up with externally and the culture within your family exerts a massive influence on that.
Of course, of course.
But courage isn't avoiding the tough issues. It's being vulnerable enough to deal with them. Because if you don't deal with them, they are going to manifest in all sorts of ways in your life. Right?
I actually, in the last year or so, I have used the word vulnerability often. Here in the South, the southern part of the United States, that word holds a lot. A lot of people think you're inferior. You lack something if you are vulnerable. You've lost your protection of yourself, which is true. You're giving it up yourself. I have, and I've used this word a couple of times here. I have switched around and played with the word transparency because I think that maybe that has a little less of a hint of weakness or taking a weaker stand, and I must protect myself. It's just I'm choosing to be transparent. And especially with men, again, I live in this southern part of the United States, but I think it's a little easier for them to wrap around the term transparency.
Yes, that was a very good point. Yeah. But the whole point is the ability to deal with those challenges, which typically are the most difficult challenges you have in life. And it's hard. We're all going to have to face something like that all the time. Well, no, not all the time, but at one point in our lives.
Well, tragically, and it's much more tragic for the family, but I mean, I have had one patient walked out of my office and we had a suicide plan back when I believed in those. And, she was literally dead 20 minutes later.
Oh my gosh.
And so, she wasn't about to follow the plan, and I'd had her for a long time, and my feelings were, I mean, they were intense.
Oh, I can imagine.
And so, I remember going to the funeral thinking, well, the family's going to tell me to get the hell out, and they didn't. But in fact, they were quite lovely. But it, she tried to kill herself before, and just this time she had a more lethal means. I found myself, I went to this fellow therapist, and I was just sobbing. And she looked at me, and she said, "Wow, you're really feeling this." And I thought, what? And so I dried my tears as quickly as I could, and I thanked her, but I never sent anybody else to her because
Right. No,
I
of
never referred
course.
anyone else to
Yeah,
her because I just thought if she can't understand why this is just wrecking my soul, then she doesn't get it.
No, very good point. Yeah. Outstanding. Yeah. Excellent. Excellent. I could imagine, in the course of my practice, two or three people have committed suicide, and it's always painful.
It's horrible.
Even though really there's not a lot you could do about it. So I understand that. And again, I value your, what's the word I'm looking for? Well, no, your bravery and your courage in continuing to work with people who do present probably more of this type of risk than an average client in a
Well,
psychology practice.
I have a 2023 TEDx that's done, I mean, has almost 2 million views. It's really
Wow.
incredible. But I got the opportunity because back in 2020, I got a message over LinkedIn from someone I did not realize at the time was a co-organizer of a TEDx in Florida. She just introduced herself as Cindy. And she said that one of her friends had killed herself on Valentine's Day. And her husband came up to Cindy at the funeral and said, "What is this?" It was on my wife's bedside table and it was my book.
Oh, wow.
So she said, "What is this perfectly hidden depression?" And then a year later, she invited me to interview or audition for the TEDx. And I didn't get it the first year, but I got it the second year. And so, but you should read the comments on TEDx. It's called How to Recognize Perfectly Hidden Depression. And the comments are people saying, yeah, no one knows that this is me.
Right.
And I'm going to keep it that way. And, you know, people respond to them, please don't. And
mm-hmm.
I think yeah. the pain in the comments is incredible.
Yeah. So let's talk about that. You have your book, right? Mm-hmm. And it's still available, I presume.
Oh, yeah.
Different
mm-hmm.
platforms.
It's been translated into, I think, 15 or 16 other languages. Yeah.
Outstanding. Mm-hmm. Great job. And you have a podcast too, right?
I do. I've been doing it. Well, actually, the podcast started when I was approaching some publishing houses who were major publishing houses. And they said, "Well, we love this book idea, but we're not going to publish it because one, nobody knows who you are. And two, why would someone who was trying to look perfect buy a book on depression?" So I could do something about the first one.
Right, right.
And I was comfortable in front of a microphone mm-hmm. because of my general experience. So I listened to a couple of podcasts and probably somewhat pridefully said, "I think I could do this." And 9 years later, I'm still doing it.
Great. Yeah.
It's called the Self Work Podcast, SELFWORK.
And available on all sorts of different
available
platforms,
on Spotify,
I'm sure.
Apple, wherever
right.
you listen to podcasts.
Right. And if people want to find out more about you, your work, and how to reach out to you,
sure.
Where do they go?
I have the incredibly original website of drmargaretrutherford.com. So, and I welcome that. I welcome my email, of course, is on there, and I welcome comments and questions and everything else. In fact, there's an app on my website that if you can call me and leave me a voicemail, and I can air it on the podcast and then answer your question on the podcast, which I love to do.
Now, that's a great idea. I love it. Excellent. Well, thank you so much for being a guest, but most importantly, thank you for all the work you're doing.
Thank you.
For people who need it a lot, big time,
yeah.
to transform their lives. I know it transforms lives. When
well, you do
that,
this, you do very similar work, so.
Yes, which is why I can appreciate what you do, is it transforms their lives from being behind this curtain of shame to being free. It's remarkable. Mm-hmm. So thank you very much.
Of course.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Miracle Within You. Join me next time when I continue to explore the power of the mind-body and how it can be employed to enhance health and healing.